The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, August 18th, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about what is happening in the news. I wanted to concentrate on crime, you know, especially after the the Minister of National Security's address and then the recent spat of crimes throughout the Bahamas. I was trying to download something to play. I find that a number of senior citizens are being targeted. Senior citizens at a particular bank are being targeted by Indian-sounding people, right? They call long distance and say, "Hi, I'm calling from this particular bank. And we realized that you just got a charge." My stepfather, someone called him and actually attempted that scam. But he's smarter than average bear and asked, saying, "How come you don't know the number?" But the narrative went as, "Hi," to give the name, someone Thompson, calling from the particular bank, and that you just purchased something in China. And we called in to confirm that it was you who made that charges. And of course, you said, "No, it's not me." You say, "Man, if it wasn't you and you want this canceled, you need to give me your information now so we can cancel it immediately," right? And part of that information is to allow me to confirm your date of birth. Apparently, they know the date of birth too, by the way. They know your name, right? And then they ask for the back number of the card, Aaron. What is it called? ICUS? The back number. The three numbers is being in the back of your debit card.
That's your security.
Yeah, whatever that security number. But that's called, the security code. They ask for your security code. So once you give them that security, you know that's that, because they already have your number. But I thought it was like a fluke, a one-off thing. But now I see it's actually trending. That is happening on social media. They had a lady who recorded it, and I wanted to play that. So persons who are mostly senior citizens who do have a debit card, right? So they can actually be aware that this scam is going on, right? They're targeting Bahamians because these people seem to be foreign nationals, calling internationally, right? They have access a number of cards, data from whatever bank, right? And they are able now to call you, tell you about yourself. So now your guard already went down because they know your name, right? They could tell you this is the name of your card, right? So yeah, that's that. And then they start, "Hey, I need your security number. Put it right in the back of the card. You give it to me and I can stop this transaction." And of course, they make you panic and say, "Where is it to? It's all the way in China. Was it you?" And of course, you say, "No, it's not me. I'm not in China. So just give me this now and I'll cancel it for you. Make everything all right." And bang, you're a victim of this crime. But recently, yesterday, Aaron and I were speaking about the issue about the 11-year-old, was it? 11-year-old who seemed to be sexually targeted, molested. And Aaron liked to use the word rape instead of sexual assault.
Statutory rape would be the term that we used.
We don't use that no more.
Some people don't use it. I like to use it.
No, the powers that be say we call that sexual assault.
It is a type of sexual assault. Like, sexual assault is an overarching term. Like, there's homicide. Mm-hmm. All murders are homicides, but not all homicides are murders. Mm-hmm. Every instance of rape is a sexual assault. Not all sexual assaults are rape. It's an overarching term, and sometimes we use that overarching general term when we should be using the specific term.
Yes, the powers that be call it sexual assault. Yeah. So the 11-year-old was sexually assaulted by, and I found it odd that they would use the word boyfriend of the mother, which made the story more colorful, to draw empathy, to draw excitement, to draw, because they could say the little girl was raped by an adult and we are investigated, but they created a narrative to get us who were listening. to perk our ears up, to start questioning, to start assuming, to start guessing. So, mind you, for what the type of job I do that too in terms of spin.
Yeah.
So definitely it was intended, the verbiage.
Don't attribute to malice what is probably incompetence, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean is that I have a feeling that they didn't really consider the impact or of the words that they were using when they constructed the sentence. I don't think it was intentional in the way that you are suggesting. But the details convey to us, right, dynamics within the situation. So when you say mother's boyfriend, there is a familiarity, right? The child knows the alleged perpetrator. That conveys, right, that there is a relationship of some sort. Now we are left to speculate whether it was a matter of statutory rape where the young lady said yes, even though we all know that she cannot give said consent, right? Mm-hmm. It cannot be accepted. Or whether he just forced himself upon her without maybe her even knowing, right? Like it was an attack. Mm-hmm. The language is so important, but that's why it's important for the people who are writing these statements to take care with the words that they use, to understand what they convey and how that can be misconstrued or taken the wrong way. But that's important, right? I don't like some of the language because it leaves people to infer, right? Like it leaves people to sort of speculate.
Give me an example, because you know we have a listening audience who we have a duty to care for. You say you don't like the language, but we don't understand what you don't like. Is it that you just like to complain, or is it that it's something that we just didn't notice and say, yeah, that actually makes sense and we need to correct it and then put the person...
I don't like the use of the language statutory rape, right? The way that the sentence was constructed, I'm not sure if it was statutory rape, right? It could be that the man raped her as opposed to her consenting and them having a consensual relationship, right? And all of that is important. People say, oh, you're just complaining. But it's not a complaint. We don't know. The language about the minister talking about abortion is illegal. Yes, we all know abortion is illegal. But a termination only becomes an abortion after a certain time point, right? Does the minister know when the termination takes place? Because that's what deems it illegal or not. All of these things leaves the reader to speculate, and they can infer something that may not have occurred actually. And so I was just saying, when writing crime stories, reporting these things, you have to be very, very careful with the language that you use.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I got the voice note, the recording from the couple who got called from the international scammer. I want to play that because I think it's necessary for Bohemians to hear what is happening. I see the producer looking at me with eyes open. Nearly that clean, right? And I say, yeah, clean. It's just a conversation, right? Yes, I see. Yeah, yes, I see you, April. I see you. But play it. And I can take the... just play it. Yeah, yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay. No, it's sorry about that. That's just the guys outside doing the lawn, the landscaping people.
Okay, I understood. Thank you. Madam, my name is Mike Thompson. I'm calling you from the fraud department of Master and Visa Card. How are you doing today?
I am good.
Nice to hear that, madam. Thank you. The reason why I'm calling you, because just 5 minutes ago, use your card for purchase. Just 5 minutes ago, did you use your card for online purchase of amount $300?
No, I've been home with the landscaping people all morning.
Oh my God, that means, madam, if you are not making this payment, then this is totally a fraud transaction happening on your card through online.
Oh, gracious.
Our customers are trying to make this fraud payment. We need to stop the payment right now.
Okay, let me call my bank then. I'll call them right now.
Madam, we are calling you from your bank. We are calling you from the fraud department of your bank.
What bank? Which card is it?
Your Scotia Bank debit card.
Oh, gracious me. Oh, no. Okay. You can go ahead and stop it. I'll go to the bank so today.
No, you do not need to go anywhere right now. First of all, let's stop the payment. If we will not stop the payment right now, you might lose your money, okay?
Okay.
In order to cancel this payment, you will receive a cancellation message in your cell phone.
Okay, then.
Holding the line for you. Kindly get your card and the cell phone in your hand.
Okay.
I'm holding the line. Get your card and the cell phone in your hand. I'm holding the line.
Okay, let me get my husband. Just 1 second. Hold on. Honey!
I told you to get your card and you're getting your husband.
Yeah, because it's a joint card, you see? And...
Yes, I can see it's your joint card with your husband. So you should get your card only in your hand. Get the card in your hand.
Okay, just give me 1 second, Mr. Thompson. Hold on.
Okay.
Honey. Mr. Thompson online, he said someone trying to use our credit card. Yes. Come this way. Okay, he's coming to get the card now, because I don't keep the card. He keeps them.
Okay, get the card.
Hey.
Mr. Thompson said someone trying to use our credit card.
Mr. Thompson
from Scotia Bank fraud.
Scotia Bank? Oh, Mr. Thompson! Hello?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Not very well. And you?
I'm doing well. What happened to you?
I'm trying to figure out who's trying to use my card.
Yes, sir. Just 5 minutes ago, somebody have got online transaction on your card for amount of $306. Do you know anything about it?
I don't.
You don't? That means that this is totally a fraud transaction happening on your card. We need to simply cancel this payment right now, okay?
Okay, can you send me a photo of the transaction?
You want me to send you the photo of the transaction?
Yes, please.
What is your WhatsApp number? Tell me. I'll do a WhatsApp to you.
Send it to my email.
You want me to send to your email, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that means, sir, you don't want me to cancel that payment. You want me to send you a photo only. That's correct.
I said I would like to see it before I have it canceled. It could be my son or my grandson.
How it could be your son or grandson, sir? Somebody can make a transaction to China. This is a payment happening to China.
Yeah, I do business with China.
You do business with China?
Yes.
Okay.
What number can I reach you back on?
And I wanted to play that complete clip, right? Just so people, Bohemians, can be aware of what's happening. Like I said, my father was targeted for this. He received a phone call by a Indian sounding person who had a Anglo name, coincidentally, and said that there was a transaction on his debit card in China too, like the person said, and they wanted to assist him by canceling it. And of course, he needed his security number. The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because a number of our local departments, like BPL, like BTC, and such on, we now outsource customer service to two international companies, either yeah. West Indian or they are
East Indian.
East Indian.
And South Asian.
And South Asian, et cetera, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. So hearing the foreign voice isn't the alarm, right? So knowing that these people call you, you tend to, oh, they helped me, man. I don't want any fraud. So therefore, I will give them my information. But let Aaron comment on that because I see the phone lines are blinking. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. No, it's important for banks and financial service providers to educate the public and maintain regular public campaigns and public awareness campaigns around safe credit card use, safe online spending, online buying practices and culture, things to look out for, because the scams are outpacing the police, right? The scammers have a new scam before the police could even figure out the last scam. And so, especially with knowing that we have tons of customer service reps being engaged in foreign countries, you got to ensure, your companies have to ensure that their customers are tech savvy. First thing, don't ever share information from your credit card over the phone, right? Unless you verify. So while you have that person on the phone, get another phone and call the bank the same time and say, I have a person on the phone calling me from this number. If the number comes up, this is what they're asking me. Is the bank actively, currently, right now, trying to contact me? Things like that.
Yes. But I see the phones are light up. So let me patch some callers through so they give commentary on this. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. Apparently, they have done that a couple times to me. Good morning, both of y'all.
Good morning, ma'am. No problem. I understand.
A couple times they've done, and I even have, and where I'm legally blind, I kept the number. It's a 011 447-428-698-002. And the thing about it, the last one called me, they said, I have a First Caribbean card, and I don't have no First Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they've done that to me at least six times.
Did they ask for your name specifically, ma'am?
No, they told me my name.
So they knew your name?
Yes.
Right, see, because that's a part of it. Because yes. they have some of your information,
yes.
you believe that they must work for the bank.
Right.
Right, and so that's a part of the customer awareness and customer education.
Yes.
From you submit your information to a company, that company may have the right to sell that information to another company, right?
Wow.
Some hackers are able to access some files from a bank. Like they could mm-hmm. access a client list with no other information. So they know your name.
And your phone number.
And your phone number. And that pretense of familiarity is sufficient for some people to believe they're talking to a verified agent of the company.
Yes. So I told them straight and plain, would you want my account number? I say, hold on. Next minute, bling.
They hang up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of them were even local calls, but you couldn't, when you redial it back, you couldn't get it.
So what they ask specifically? They ask for your credit card?
They told me that my card, someone has tampered it. Uh-huh. One time, I think the first time they said 600. The next time they said it was about 1900. The next time it was about 400 and some. That mm-hmm. I need to get my card number in the front of me and give me the number to them. Give them all the number. I said, okay, hold on 1 minute. Let me just check. Next minute, I come back to the line. They were gone.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you calling. I'm glad you know one, the simple one.
And ma'am, this is what I'm thinking. Bahamians used to raise Bahamian children. They don't get swing easy.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
Thanks very much, ma'am.
Y'all keep it up. God bless y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
And a pleasant good morning to you again. And guess what, Mr. Duree? I got a call similar to that. Early, I think it was the week before last,
mm-hmm.
around about 6:30 in the morning, very early. I got to tell this was a long distance call, and they called me asking the same question about my debit card at Scotia in the Bahamas. They told me my account number. They told me everything, but I say, but I do not have a debit card. They say, are you a Mr. Fountain, number 8 Pride Estate? I say, yes, sir. The thing is, I told them they could take as much as they want of my debit card because I know my debit card don't even have nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the debit card one time. I was trying to take out a loan to help my son go off to school, but the loan was refused. And the attendant at Scotia, Thompson Boulevard, right by the College of the Bahamas, she told me while the transaction is going on, I should open a debit card account just to have an account there. She showed me how to open an account, but I never put nothing on it other than the $20. And within 2 months, they took banking fees off, which was $10 a month, so it left the account empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was last week, I think, the same Indian-sounding person called me before 7 o'clock in the morning, giving me my name, my address, and everything, telling me somebody was using my debit card. And I don't know how they could use a debit card because I know there's no balance on that card because I never used that card in over a year.
I appreciate you,
man. The Bahamian people better. There's a lot of scammers. Right now, I got somebody calling me, telling me that their father died and left them $600,000. They got cancer, and they want to send the money to me in the Bahamas because they hear that I like to help poor people. If I could please use the money properly, help as much poor people in the Bahamas as I can, and they would get back to me and get all my information so they could send me the money.
Mm-hmm.
That is happening live on my phone right now.
I
can show you all that. There's scammers going on all around the world, especially around in Africa. Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and all of that, they're famous on that, trust me.
Yes. And that's what we're concerned with. Mm-hmm. Want to go to the next call or you want to comment?
Just a quick note.
Go ahead.
It's also important for people to report, right? It's important.
I went to report my father's issue, and I think the police said that I needed more information.
But sometimes, like, we get the Samsung scam on WhatsApp.
Yes.
And people will scam the scammer.
Yes.
And try to annoy them. And then you know that you've turned them away and you feel good, right? That you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to log every number, report every number, like every instance.
Mm-hmm.
Report it. The question is there an easily accessible
mm-hmm.
way to report it? Is there an online portal, right, where you could just say, fill out an incident report for a cyber crime, a potential cyber attack?
Okay, let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, I am so happy, sir, that you're bringing this to the forefront because it's happening. It's happened to me, too. I got a phone call telling me that $4,000 is being withdrawn from my account. I need to stop it right now and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you said, some of us are very smart. I told the guy, I said, okay, what do you need? He said, he need this, he need that. I said, well, I picked up on it. So I said, you know something? Let them have the $4,000. He said, you serious? I said, yeah, let them have the $4,000 because I'm not giving you my information, and I'm going to call my bank. As soon as I hang the phone up, I went straight to Scotia Bank, which is a big scam going on with Scotia Bank, and I'm happy that people are calling out the bank name, and it's not no fault of theirs. But when I went to the bank, the guy then did the check and everything. He said, Mr. Bullitt, nobody called you to find out and no information about it. I said, thank you very much. He said, be careful and thanks for bringing this to our attention. So I'm happy that you are bringing this to the Bahamian public. People, please be alert. Listen to this. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. And the reason why I brought it up, because they called my father, right? They called my father and of late, they seem to know and targeting people of senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They scan in and say, okay, I get one. I'm going to take advantage of senior citizens who would be more vulnerable in terms of relying on giving out information. And they say, I got to bring this up because it can't be just him. It can't be just him. And it seems as if there are abundance of persons, Bahamians, who are being targeted. Okay, we're going to take a quick break because I see the caller all right now. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll continue this conversation because there's looms. Didn't the government pass a law that making loans illegal? Because there's a loom now on social media where they asking everybody.
Are they looming again?
They're looming again. They're looming again, and they have a lot of women. A lot of women saying, this working. I've already put up my $100 and I'm getting my payback.
Dear Bahamians, if I could use my powers for good, not for evil, y'all could do it too. Y'all stop taking advantage of people.
I may just play that loom thing too. Let people, anyway. We'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We talk about crime today, right? These people scamming us. You know, things tough. Anyway, we'll be right back.
vaccines protect those we love the most, our children and our grandchildren. I vaccinated my children to protect them. Getting your child immunized can protect them against diseases like polio, measles, whooping cough, and others. So protect your child today by getting them immunized. My grandchildren are vaccinated. You should do the same. Vaccinate your children and your grandchildren and make sure they are safe.
Vaccines are essential for new and returning students. As you begin back-to-school preparations, ensure that your children's vaccinations are up to date. All vaccines are available at all public health clinics.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 Photography Competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri this morning. We are talking about matters of crime. We're looking right now at the fintech space, right? We're looking at cyber crimes, online, digital crimes. And while you say, oh, but this is a telephone scam, it is a telephone scam, but we're looking at all of those things. And in the break, a question came to mind, Mr. Nuri. Do we have the capacity to manage, regulate, or provide oversight for cryptocurrency exchanges, cryptocurrency businesses, and other fintech services and solutions? So I'll throw that question on the table and then go to the phone line.
Yes. Let's go to the phone line there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Man, listen to me. Y'all talking about scamming. The person, somebody called me a couple months ago and tell me I won, excuse my voice, I won $125,000.
Nice.
Now, I ain't ever played under win nothing. Oh. But I have to send $10,000 in order to get the money. So I tell him what to do. Take the $10,000, owe the $125,000, and just send me the rest. They tell me, no, they can't. Go into the money. I have to send the money in order for the money to be cleared. But the money is right here. So I turn around and I tell them, I can send a decent vehicle because I know I'm on public radio. I turn around and tell them, saying, you know what? Give that to your mother. I ain't say your mother, but you know what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know what? Turn around, give that to your mother.
Because
I know I ain't going into nothing to win nothing.
Right. That's another thing, Nuri, in terms of this.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Yeah.
In terms of this culture, right? That's a savvy listener we got there, a caller. This is a what we call a hit a lick culture, right? Where wrecking, rum running, right? And what they call it, when you find drugs. Not when you go and you transport them, but when you find them on the beach and then all of a sudden you're a millionaire.
Square grouper.
Yeah, the hit a lick culture. So people aren't really thinking clearly, like the gentleman said, I never entered a competition, so why am I being awarded a prize?
But some years ago, we had an executive, a CEO of one company for one bank or government institution who got scammed. Same way, so you win the money and you got to send the money through. And I'm saying, how can a Bahamian get duped like that? We smarter than average real.
See, sometimes we try to out-conk, but when somebody's trying to conk us, as opposed to just reporting the instance, the incident, we try to out-scam them. Hmm. And then we get scammed in the process.
We have another caller there. Let's pass the caller through.
I'm not saying that's what happened in that instance, because I don't know who you're talking about at all.
I can remind you. I remind you a commercial break. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, morning.
Mr. Nuri, I walked into the shop just now. I heard you and Aaron playing the clip, right?
Mm-hmm.
I instinctively knew what it was, so I started to laugh, right, because I heard the Indian accent, like senior. He said, but the thing is, you and I win $900,000 twice a week. So it was a Samsung, said some Samsung promotion. I didn't read the BS, but I knew something is wrong. So I told the guy, first I told him, you know, my daughter's an online account, but it's like she only uses it for like shopping, so there's nothing really on it. So I told him I could give him that number and he could transfer to that. And then the second time, for weeks and weeks, they keep bothering me on the phone, so I tell him I can get a plane ticket and come over there and just collect the money.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it wasn't no transaction. You know, the fact that technology is moving faster than the lawmakers, and they stay with new innovative ways. Like, this one is scary for me, seeing Nuri. The ATM card, the debit card, is in my wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the bank called me and told me that activity is on the card. I'm not even using the card.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me? I'm not even using it. I lost a card before, and then I guess people find and do online shopping. But what I'm saying is these financial institutions could step up their game, because even if a person is ignorant, there still should be a way that they can see that the IP address doesn't match the debit card. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of different ways they could pick up, but it seems to me as if they're persistent with this because it benefits them with the online shopping. Because when I discovered the card is missing, because I used it by the insurance company, and I just dropped it in the yard somewhere, but I didn't realize it was missing right away because I don't use it every day. So that's a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
But this digital panopticon they're creating is worse than cash, because somebody can actually swipe your identity and swipe all your money versus the cash. They only could take what you have in your pocket. But we're blindly embracing this, and we could still exist symbiotically, cash and cashless. But you know what they want? They want a total panopticon. They want to control the sheep. Bless.
52. If I was a scammer, mm-hmm. right? They have these devices where you could read people's cards from in their wallet. The card could be in their bag. It could be in the wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not exposed. They could walk past you, right, with their card reader.
Mm-hmm.
And they could pull all the information off your card,
mm-hmm.
right? If I was a real scammer, I'd get on a cruise ship and travel the Caribbean and just walk through as a tourist. Just, you know, vapid, just walking through, smiling, having a good time.
Aaron, have your debit card ever get hit?
Yeah, I
was in my banking institution, going to the ATM machine, and of course it rejected it, said there's no money.
Yeah.
By times I check it, and the only way I noticed was because I knew how much money I had beforehand.
Yeah.
And I went back the next week and realized I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me like 8 weeks, 12 weeks before they give me back my money because I had to report it.
Yeah.
Like that. Especially when I was broke, man, that wasn't a pleasant feeling.
See, and so what the caller is saying, see, when you travel using a credit card, right, the bank, some of the banks locally, I think it's all,
yeah,
they require you
mm-hmm.
to be able to use your credit card outside of this jurisdiction
mm-hmm.
to come in with an itinerary
mm-hmm.
for your trip,
mm-hmm.
right, and let them know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, so that they will authorize your charges,
mm-hmm.
right?
I know Fidelity is actually a trick question.
That's
the question they have to go through.
They have lots of protocols for the customer,
mm-hmm.
right, to protect them. But where are the protocols to protect the customer?
Yeah, we have more calls, Aaron. Let's patch these calls through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Come on, how y'all going today?
Doing well,
good,
sir.
Which one of y'all get scammed again? I know y'all talking, but it's because one of y'all get hit.
No, I didn't get hit. Someone was targeting my stepfather, and they called him.
Cousin,
therefore, I said, let me bring this up.
But also, cousin, you have to have money to get scammed, so you know it wasn't me.
No, my wife take all my
money. What you mean it wasn't you, Miss Green? You know, but you know what? Just like Sparky say, they was hitting me because I didn't even think about it. I signed up for an app on Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And then when I was setting up one of these cameras type things, and when I was setting it up, something come on and say, put in your card payment or whatever. And I said, well, why? And it was for free. I said, well, why I got to do that?
Mm-hmm.
But then I keep seeing a notification on my card saying like $29, $39. Like, but they was doing it every day. and then it run up to about $500. And then I was like, what the hell? Like, and then when I talked to the bank, they was like, well, but see, what I didn't pay attention to was because of the amount, $29,
so small, yeah.
Stuff, we weren't really looking at that. But then the amount, I mean, the app, my, every time a transaction is done on my account, the app is sent a notification.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wasn't paying attention to the, I was like, it was $29, I must use it. You understand? Like, I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the, that's one of the things you have to pay. Because most of the bank cards now, you, when you sign up, they direct you to sign up with the bank app. App as well.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
if you weren't paying attention to that, like, then you can get hit.
Right.
And then another thing.
Go on.
Another thing is, I find that you, when they, like you were saying, Ms. Green, we hit a lick. Like, mm-hmm. when they call you, don't hang up. Just say, okay, give me the information so I could send you the money cash. Give me your bank account information so they could set the money up cash. You understand? Like, we can get through sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I had one. When an African man on the phone for weeks, but I trying to find his information. Then they get all this money, I was trying to find his information.
Yeah.
So I could put the thing on him.
Yeah.
But it would take too long. But he wouldn't give up and I wasn't giving up. So
listen, they have yeah. universities for scammers now. They have schools for scammers. It's important for people to understand this. This isn't just some desperate person. Right? Who's trying to take advantage of you? These are organized crime entities. You watch documentaries on them in some of these jurisdictions. They have skyscrapers filled with offices of people who are just all day scamming people. And so our response to that has to be equally strategic, right? We need to ensure that people are prepared for this new dimension that we've entered.
Especially when they are now forcing senior citizens to move from going on the line, right, which they're used to and could communicate with their regular teller,
right,
to going on the what do you call it? The
online platform.
ATM platform. Because you can imagine going in an ATM and someone put in a machine that could take all your money and you don't know.
Yeah.
Especially for a senior citizen who just goes in once a month.
For instance, with the ATM machines, right? A number of banks have outdoor ATMs,
mm-hmm.
and they have ATM rooms that are not properly secured, which means initially you're thinking, okay, somebody can come in and rob me while I'm withdrawing my money. But that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is that the machines can be tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's supposed to be security cameras, but what if the camera doesn't catch it? What if somebody disrupts the feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the onus is on you, the consumer, to do all the tests, right? So when you get to the machine, if there are any parts that protrude, right, that come out of the machine, touch them, shake them, see if they come off, because they can place a replica over the top. And that secondary part steals your information. It looks just like the machine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another caller here. Let's pass that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. I'm Mari Nurian. And,
Green.
Aaron, again, I'm glad you bring up this vital information for the folks, especially the elderly. Because I learned when I first opened my bank account, my bank manager told me, Funkin, and that was share information by email or by phone. If you have any discrepancy, come in. And if they really want to call you, hang up on them or send your email, put it, block it. You know, it's called a block back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's so-called block. Or put it in a scam. You know, the scam department, right?
Yeah.
Your email. Yeah. You're there, right?
You can report an email as a scam
on
your email platform. But also, I would say, call the Royal Bahamas Police Force and ask them to direct you to the proper unit within the force.
I want that, my dad. They ain't got that yet, right?
Listen, that's okay.
You,
but
you didn't write them back on your show.
Yeah.
I did that before. But the most important thing with my manager is, don't share your information online or on the telephone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like playing those kind of people. It's a scam. But y'all, I glad y'all bring this up there to educate the public.
Oh, boy.
Y'all have a good day.
Absolutely, Pumpkin Eater.
Okay, we have one more call there. Patch that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Grant once. Call Grant twice. Let's go to the text line then.
Boy, this is a text here, Mr. Newry. It says, if I see a strange area code on my phone, I answer with a disguised voice so they can't record my voice and use AI to call my contacts. Now comes
AI can do that?
Listen, it can.
Does it take my voice from me just like that?
Absolutely, with a very limited, content, right? Access to limited sentences. They can reconstruct your voice and an entire vocabulary of words in your voice, right? And so, is the law keeping pace with technology and the expansion of technology? Is there a law that requires the bank to provide solutions at the pace of the technology and the pace of the expansion of the scams? Because come on, how am I supposed to know that I'm picking up a call? I got family that lives abroad. I got friends. Man, I got people in Africa. I got people in Europe. We got people who used to wake at the Guardian in Australia, right? Bahamians know people all around the world. Why am I to assume that any foreign area code is going to be a scam call? I mean, this is a great text. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It raises something that we need to prepare ourselves for.
But Aaron, there's also a loom going around, right? It's on social media. One with two women discussing this Meta loom. That's what they name it, Meta.
It's called a Meta loom?
Yeah.
Write that down Meta, so I could avoid right? it.
And where they said you with $100, you invest inside this company.
Okay.
And that you could get more money by bringing more people in. As you bring more people in, you get more payout and more dividends. Okay. From there, I said, but that's loom, right? And that just for putting your money in, right, you get interest for having your money in. You get interest if the company, which didn't explain what the company is, makes money. You get money if you've been in the company for 6 months, and they churn you that you can make your money back, double it, triple it, treble it, within a month time. And as you get more and more people in, the number, your money, just doubles in value. And I'm saying, that's a loom. Listen, that's against law now. You can't be doing that in the Bahamas anymore. But these two ladies are comfortable.
Well, I mean, you couldn't do it at all.
Before the law just get passed another day, man.
That's the law to provide explicit and specific provisions, right, around that crime. But there are other laws that could help us deal with that. I just want to say to my great Bahamian people, if you're tired of giving your money to the church, mm-hmm. you're tired of paying taxes, and you're considering giving your money to a loom, call Aaron Green. Let us invest in Sea Grapes or Gannett or people or the hospital or something. But just bring the money to me.
And as we wrap up our crime segment, right, I'm trying to memorize the picture of the rapist who they're releasing.
Mr. Cooper? Mr. Sidney Cooper, 47-year-old Sidney Cooper.
He has that face would look like everybody. And I'm trying to say, if I can't memorize his face to look out for him, this one ain't going to help me. Because he had that familiar face. He looks like the neighbor next door.
Yeah.
Right? And
most predators do.
So that is what the concern. Are they going to put billboards up so it can remind me? So if I'm going to the corner store, that I can look up and say, oh, that's you, eh? You know?
Yeah.
Because that one picture can't help me.
Yeah, one press release, one picture is not sufficient to prepare a community for the release of a sex offender, particularly a sex offender on the sex offender registry. On Monday's show, Mr. Newry, I'm going to have delved into the legislation for the sex offender registry, because there are a number of questions that I think the people want to have answered to be certain of what's happening, right? Are there restrictions for offenders? Like restriction to access or proximity to children and minors? Are there restrictions prohibiting proximity to schools, daycare facilities, senior care facilities, right? Does the offender have to register a change of address and or a change of occupation? Are they restricted in working in jobs where they may have unfettered, unsupervised access to children? Can an offender leave New Providence and move to a family island? Do they have to provide notice? Are the police then required to enhance, expand police services and the number of officers present on that island? Are there any reporting requirements, like people on bail may have to report once a week, once every 2 days? And where can the public find this information? Another thing, is the registry open to the public, right? If this information is public record, is the registry open to the public, or do organizations and individuals have to apply for access to the register, or do they have to submit a name and say, I want to know if this person is on the list? Right? And then there's another question that arises from the minister's commentary. The minister said, Monroe said, I'm reading from the article, I'm reading from the Nassau Guardian press statement on their social media pages yesterday. Monroe said he heard from 47-year-old Sidney Cooper to find out from the repeat sex offender why he should not notify the public of his release. Is it at the minister's discretion whether an offender is registered, if their name is put on the register? First question, is there not a list of offenses that automatically result in your name being put on the register, right? Is there a demarcation? Someone who has been charged with an offense because they were urinating in public and they were not aware that there were minors or people around and unintentionally exposed their genitalia, would they be put on the list? Is there an indication of why they're on the list? All of these things are important for the public to know and to be able to understand how this system works. But in particular, clarity, I'm going to go through the act myself, but clarity on whether the minister has the discretion, right? Whether the minister determines who is ultimately registered and is not registered. And is there a, like, is there a temporary halfway house? Is there transitional housing for people being released from BDOC, Bahamas Department of Corrections, who are also registered sex offenders, right? These are questions, and then what arises is where is that facility?
Yeah, all of that need to be addressed. This has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green was with me. There are fraudsters out there who are targeting the vulnerable. They're targeting the senior citizens. They're targeting women in general. There's a loom servicing again. We just want you to be aware and watch out for it.
And just in case you didn't know, looms are illegal.
Looms are illegal. If it's too good to be true, it's more likely a loom. Have a wonderful day.